everybody, and welcome to a sketchy wild ride with Steve-O. We've got a guy who's really, really good with sketchy stuff, sketches in particular. And man, what a great conversation we have. I might want to apologize in advance for maybe being a little bit insensitive by just barraging him with precisely the stuff that I knew he did not want to be barraged with. Hey man, you know, I'm a jerk, but it actually played out pretty well. And you know, it's a great episode. You know what else plays out really well is my experience with my wiener and Blue Chew tablets. Because, man, I love it. I can't say it enough. When I chew up a Blue Chew tablet, my tongue's blue. And then next thing you know, about a half an hour later, I'm hard as a rock and boning the hell out of my girl. Why? Well, because Blue Chew tablets contain the same active ingredient as both Viagra and Cialis, except they only cost a fraction of the price. And what's even crazier is that you can get an entire month's supply of Blue Chew tablets absolutely for free. All you got to pay is $5 for shipping. How do you do that? Well, you go to bluechew.com, you use the promo code Steve-O, and you very quickly, conveniently, and easily consult with a medical provider on the website. Takes no time at all. It's not awkward or inconvenient. And boom, your prescription's set and your Blue Chew tablets are in the mail. And all you had to pay was $5 for shipping because you got an entire month's supply completely for free. Man, what a deal. And again, to get this deal, you go to bluechew.com, use the promo code Steve-O. Man, you're going to have a great time because I know that I always do. So without further ado, let's get into it. All right, dude. We're fucking ready to rock.
Are you nervous?
No.
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, Shane Gillis.
Yes.
Yeah, dude.
What's up?
In the flesh.
Dude, I'm super stoked, man. I see you on podcasts and huge numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't blow it for us.
All right, we'll see.
Don't break your streak.
We'll see.
Yeah, man. So you said we met at Just for Laughs Festival in Montreal.
Yeah. It was briefly. We were on the same, like, van from the airport.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was excited. Your dog was there.
Right.
I was pretty happy.
I was
about
in the
it.
Van, too, I think, that time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I didn't leave that much of an impression, though.
Well, I mean, I was pretty quiet. I was in the back.
Yeah.
I was excited you were there, though.
Cool,
big
man.
Fan. Dude, I fucking.
Well,
love
thanks,
Jackass.
Brother.
Yeah.
I super appreciate that, man. I was, for anybody who doesn't know, Just for Laughs is not even arguably, it's like definitely the biggest comedy festival there is. And for them to embrace Steve-O stand-up comedy was a major breakthrough for me.
Oh, for real? That's
awesome.
Yeah,
like not everybody loves it when someone comes from one arena of entertainment into stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
And to have Just for Laughs sign off on me in that respect. They brought me to the Vancouver, to the Montreal, to the Toronto, even to the Mexico one. So,
oh shit!
I feel like I kind of have been recognized in stand-up comedy for that reason.
Yeah, it's funny that people are like that. Like they get the comedians are like,
yeah.
Oh, you think you can just show up? It's like, yeah.
It's
fucking stand-up comedy. Yeah, dude. It's open mics. You can literally show up.
Anybody can.
Yeah, it's you know, there's some pushback, but I never let it stop me. I fucking stuck with it, dude.
Yeah, I mean, well, you also made something that's funnier than stand-up already.
Well,
and not to,
thanks,
you
man.
Don't have to say, but like, nothing's funnier.
Well,
it's
thanks, dude.
It's, yeah, whatever.
I, you know, over the years of performing stand-up, gradually, like, my world's just converged. Like, the stand-up actually kind of worked its way back to the Jackass stuff because I would, for my new hour, go out and do the gnarliest stunts ever and make the act about that. And then after each bit, I screen the footage of the bit.
That's awesome.
I love it, dude.
Yeah, that's great.
It's really like I've stumbled on this like fully original approach to live comedy, and I'm stoked on it. But yeah, dude. So
it'd be funny if people copied.
I mean, I would love it.
It's like,
you know?
Louis was hammering his nuts after a joke.
I would love it if they did, because I take
it. Been hit by a bull.
Some of this stuff is hard to replicate, though, because the lengths that we went through to get, like,
oh, my God, dude.
We gave him a spinal tap, and then we went for a race.
The fucking,
yeah, you can't replicate.
Dude,
I would like
first
to see
all,
somebody
no one's
do
gonna,
that.
Yeah, no one's going to. That's fucking wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dad did some pretty heavy stuff for, and it's going to get even heavier for my next hour.
Really?
Yeah, but we don't even need to worry about that. But so Legion of Skanks, how about that?
Well, that's another podcast. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I'm on there. Are you doing Skankfest?
I am, dude.
Oh, hell yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
How about the fucking lineup for Skankfest?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's
crazy. I got to believe that as we're recording this, it'll actually come out. Maybe
that
week.
A couple days before.
Oh, nice.
Because it's what, October 15th, 16th.
Yeah. Yeah. In Vegas. Someone's going to fucking die.
Did they put you up?
Not me.
I'll
be dead. This comes out.
Skank?
Oh, nice.
Oh.
What's she was going
to talking about? The dog's
throwing up.
Dog's throwing
even
up.
Even your dog throws up. Your dog throws up.
I don't know, dude, but Jesus.
When I've seen her do this before.
Yeah. Wendy, that's
she's heckling
there
us,
it is.
Dude.
Oh, shit.
Wow, it's like a gnarly yellow bile attack.
Bro, why?
I don't know. I don't know. Wendy, that was not cool, man.
Maybe we should leave the door open.
Wait, it stinks, too?
No.
Did we all just start vomiting on the podcast?
Wendy, poor girl. So Legion of Skanks is like a comedy click.
Yeah, Legion of Skanks is a podcast. It's
man, she ate some shit that didn't agree with her, dude. That's...
Should we open up that door so
so she can barf all over the place? Man, off to a shaky start.
You wanna just open up that door?
Yeah. I'd be happy to.
Yeah, so I'm not liable. Go up.
There you go.
Yeah, bye bye. Feel better.
Yeah. They can bill us for the carpet cleaning.
Yeah.
And by the way, we're in New York. How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Legion of Skanks has this comedy festival. Like every comedian in the fucking world is on it. Like I saw their Instagram post. Like it's unfucking believable.
Are they paying you to go?
Yeah.
Are they paying everybody to go?
I think so, yeah. That's the idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, how many people are expected to go to this? Is it like a just
dude,
for laughs?
You know what it is? It's literally like
Insane
the gathering
posse.
Of the Juggalos.
It is absolutely that.
Yeah, if they had a comedy festival.
Legion of Skanks fans are Juggalos, by the way.
Yeah.
They are. Like, you'll see these dudes and be like, yo, it's a wild time. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we did Houston last... So the last one was in Houston.
It's been like 3 years so far.
Yeah, maybe I don't know, maybe 4 or 5.
Right.
It was
how,
in New
how
York
old
at
are
first.
You?
I'm 34.
34. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, and the first one was I did like a spot on the first one. Like at the time, I was like, "Damn, this is huge!" Like I was so excited. Yeah.
It's crazy to me that it's such a huge festival and has because like Legion of Skanks. It's kind of super
what is
hard.
It?
It's like super hardcore, like it's kind of like rap music that is like deliberately wants to make sure it cannot be played on the radio because it's too gangster.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Legion of Skanks wants to be just too gangster for mainstream. And that's like Louis J. Gomez.
Yeah.
Like he's Legion of Skanks.
Yeah, for sure.
Like.
It's Louis, Big J, and Dave Smith.
Yeah.
And it's,
Big J is arguably the more like user friendly of the
guys. Which is shocking because he's wild.
Yeah.
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 So, dude, we'll be there, man. Looking forward to that.
I am. It's a little. I'm a little like. Oh man, I'm gonna be hungover. Like, okay. It's a guarantee. Like, it's going to be a rough one.
And you're just Vegas. Going from show to show, like, and you do stand up.
How many stages are there with that many comics?
Five right now. Uh-huh. And it's just all day. Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. It'll just be drugs. The comedy jam, the singing, all that shit. It'll be fun.
I believe it. And then at night, is it going to be like a rave kind of a deal?
Yeah, there's some of that. Yeah, yeah, it's just dudes, though. It's like 90% dudes. Like,
I don't know, dude. I think there's going to be chicks, too.
A little bit.
Yeah.
There's some chicks.
So where are you living these days?
I live in Queens. I live in Astoria.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you came from Philadelphia.
Yes, originally from Philly, yeah. I was actually in Philly today. I went down. I did a show with Chris Rock last night.
Wow, dude, that's sick.
That was fucking crazy.
What were the measures for preventing people from recording the show with their cell phones?
He has those.
The bags.
The bags. Yeah.
What are the measures from people going on stage and slapping them?
There's some guys back there. They would get fucked up.
Yeah, I bet you that never happens again to them.
No, that happened. The dude tried it with Chappelle.
Like
a week later, right?
Right,
the guy ran off like a knife and got fucking stomped by Jamie Foxx and Busta Rhymes.
His arms dislocated as he's getting into the ambulance.
And then, a couple days after that, they're like, "Oh, the guy is booked for attempted murder for something completely unrelated." Like,
he went and tried to.
It's crazy times, man.
It's crazy he tried to stab Dave Chappelle.
He definitely had a knife on him.
Yeah. What's he doing, dude? That's wild. That's a wild choice.
Yeah. You ever had any weird hecklers try to fuck with you?
I mean, dude, were you there when Big J got...
No, I wasn't.
My
God.
He got pulled off the stage?
Yeah, I saw that. And then we were talking to Louis Gomez about that. Like, because you see the clip of him running over to kick him, and he missed. And it's like, I feel like that would be like one of those dreams where you like punch somebody and you can't punch. You know, like he must think about that. Like, dude, because you know that guy wants to fucking fight.
Lewis?
Yeah, that's all day.
That's the best part of the clip is Lewis is no hesitation. Like Jay gets, it almost looks like Lewis pushes him because of how fast he's right behind, like jumping off the stage, like no hesitation.
For sure. Yeah. Because when we brought it up to him on the podcast, he's like, dude, and I fucking missed, dude. It's like he's been waiting his whole life for that moment and he fucking missed, dude.
Yeah.
He'll get it again. He'll get some more fights.
Oh, dude, for sure.
He gets in fights, dude.
Yeah, We tried those bags on my tour, the bag that locks your
foot. Yonder
bag. It's just like...
It just keeps getting more expensive and more expensive every time.
It's like $2 a bag, right? So I think whatever.
Yeah, well, if you're doing like stadiums, it's like 40 cents a bag, but like the smaller the venue, the more, you know?
Right.
And we have people passing out during our show all the time. So one time we had three people pass out during the show and somebody's like, call 911. And then somebody's we fucking can. one person find like you can keep the show going on while it's happening. But then like there was like three and then some guy had a fucking seizure.
What the fuck?
Because the bits are like really kind of fucked up.
There's after every bit in the show, I screen footage of the bit.
And then they see
three of the videos I play are culprits for making full-grown men pass out cold in the audience.
Jesus.
And we're so desensitized by it because people are freaking out. I've never seen it. We're just like, dude,
I was freaking out. I'm like, oh, yeah, you know. Like,
can we move him out of the show and fucking keep the show going on?
No, I want
to
see it.
Like, I'm desensitized to the point where I'm like, dude, are you good yet?
or there's like, we had a standing room only show and like...
Six people passed out while standing.
Yeah.
But
it happened so much. Like Steve's experienced that so much that he was so pissed. He's like, okay, you know what? Fine. Watch what's going to happen. You're going to see a person drop and then a spread and then a drop and then a spread. And
I was so pissed when I found out that it was going to be standing room only. I was like, dude, I'm going to cancel this fucking show. I can't have people passing out on their feet. Yeah. And then I said, you know what? Actually, we're going to document the show to show what a terrible idea it is so that we'll never have standing room only ever again.
What city was it in?
That was in upstate New York. Syracuse, I think.
Yeah.
Was it hot? Or is it just the videos?
It's like needles and spines and like a vasectomy.
There's the vasectomy Olympics. And then there's the epidural foot race.
Damn.
Yeah. And then what's the other one? Is the,
we don't need to give away the whole food. Then there's another one that's even more upsetting than the others.
And so it's always like people that just kind of, and they're out. Or like they like get really hot and sweaty and they go to the bathroom and like sometimes the ushers can't get in the bathroom because
they're on the floor.
And so they can't open the door because their feet are blocking it.
Oh, fuck.
So you have to like the... I have to go do like the, you know, before the show, like, okay, security, like we do get people passing out during the show and they're dude, just like, insane. What? And I'm just like, yeah.
That doesn't happen anywhere.
I know. It's it's pretty crazy. I've never heard about people passing out during Jackass movies. And like, it seems that I have raised the bar.
Yeah. And like, it's even crazier when like they get taken away in stretchers. And cause I'm like, okay, look, like I'm not a doctor. I can't tell you.
Yeah.
But, like, you're it's right. not as serious as you think it is, but people are just out in a stretcher.
Yeah.
Except for the people who hit their heads because they're walking around. Like, I understand everybody's been perfectly fine.
We had, I went to Catholic school and kids would fucking faint. We had to go to church every week. And there's no air conditioning. It was hot as fuck.
Okay. Yeah.
Kids would faint. And it's Catholic, so you're standing and kneeling, standing.
Were you an altar boy?
No, I wasn't.
I was.
I got out of there. Oh, nice.
Yeah, I got caught in third grade drinking the wine.
Damn.
Yeah.
Third grade?
The priest came in and he's like, what are you doing?
He's like, jackpot.
Yeah, he was
a little buzzed up.
I love that.
Now, to be fair, drinking is not always a jackpot. But man, is it for me? Every morning when I wake up and hydrate myself with a pint of water into which I pour Athletic Greens AG1. Why is it a jackpot? Because it's comprehensive, convenient daily nutrition, and it's delicious, and it's loaded with 75 different vitamins, minerals, whole food sourced superfoods, adaptogens, and probiotics. It's great for your gut health, for your mental health, and it fills in all of the gaps in your diet if you're not eating enough greens and nutrients. I mean, dude, talk about a jackpot. Athletic Greens AG1 is a total jackpot. It's absolutely delicious. And what's even better, if you go to athleticgreens.com/Stevo, then they're going to throw in with your order 5 comprehensive packets of daily nutrition, plus an entire year's supply of immune-boosting vitamin D. Boom. You're going to get hooked up with that on your first order if you go to athleticgreens.com/Stevo. It's a jackpot every morning, man. I love it. You're going to love it. And use that. athleticgreens.com/Stevo to support the podcast as well as your own health. Now, let's talk more about that jackpot.
Buzz, I'm not going to tell anybody. Yeah, I watched a kid faint right in front of me. His head hit the pew. It's pretty great. Kids fucking faint nonstop.
Yeah, or you see that in weddings. Like, they say don't lock your feet when you're standing up for long periods of time, but I've never seen that.
Wait, don't lock your
feet. You ever seen,
your
like,
knees. Yeah. Don't lock your knees when you're standing for a long time.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I guess, like, people just, like...
At weddings?
Yeah, like, you see, like, groomsmen fall over and pass
it's
out.
It's hot. They're drunk. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't know why that is.
Dude, your guys... The fact that people are fainting at these shows...
It should be a marketing point.
Yeah. Dude,
definitely. I've never...
It's the craziest phenomenon.
Every show.
No.
Before I play the vasectomy video, I routinely say, before this... As a legal concern, I have to tell you, with everyone in the room as a witness, that we are all here at our own risk.
Yeah.
And I explain that, you know.
Well, they probably think you're fucking kidding.
I know, but and, yeah. Like, and I say it doesn't happen all the time.
Yeah.
But we average one guy per show, and I've come to learn that if you are that guy, you already know you are that guy. And that's like one of the biggest laughs of the whole show.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole show. Like,
yeah.
And then, the one guy sitting there like,
they want to get like hot. They want to get like fresh air and go outside. I'm like, do not go outside because, like, just sit because you'll pass out in your seat and you won't hit your head. And then you'll wake up and it's fine.
Yeah,
and they're like, "What the fuck?"
And then if someone doesn't pass out during the show, then I feel like a fraud. When it happens, I'm like, "Oh, okay, at least they know I'm."
Yeah, and they're always like sitting down with like an ice pack on the back of their neck, or like, and I give them a free bottle of hot sauce.
Damn.
So.
Yeah, dude, we do need to make T-shirts. I passed out at a Steve O show.
Yeah, we can give him one. But so are you doing at the Skank Fest? Like, you're gonna go up and do your show?
No.
You're hosting it.
I'm gonna treat it like when I hosted the Gathering of the Juggalos.
It'll be that.
Show everybody my butthole.
Yeah. Oh, they'll go nuts.
You ever been?
That'll be a hit.
You've been to that?
I have not been to that.
It's probably one of the coolest experiences of my life.
I've heard it's great,
dude. It's really, really cool, yeah. Man.
Vanilla Ice fucking killed it up on stage.
Really?
Kid and Play was there.
Did they like Vanilla Ice? Were they like?
They loved him. Oh, shit. Dude, Vanilla Ice has attended every single gathering of the Juggalos, with like maybe a couple exceptions, for like the last 20 fucking years. Like, he is straight Juggalo fucking.
I worked with a guy. He would go to it every year.
Yeah.
And I was like, "You fucking loser."
Yeah.
And then he would show me videos of it, and I was like, "Damn, that's fucking cool, dude."
I didn't know much about it, dude. But you know, I come out like I was like hosting the show. There's musical performances, so I come out, I do like whatever, like, you know, do some silly trick,
yeah,
some stunt, and then introduce the band, and so I'm like, I come out there, they're screaming, like, more than one person, like, "Show us your butthole." Yeah. They're just kind of, that's weird, you know, and like, they go up and like, they're screaming like, "Show us your butthole," and they're, you know, they're like, yeah, they love that. That's what they want. They really and I was like, well, who am I to not fucking
of course
give them what they want? You know, yeah. So I get out there and I fucking spread them wide. And
who was the musical act? Who had to follow a butthole?
Project Pat.
Project Pat had to follow an asshole.
Who's your buddy on the 3-6 Mafia?
Oh, DJ Paul.
DJ Paul.
Damn.
Yeah, DJ Paul.
3-6 Mafia's incredible. They were on fucking Jackass.
Yeah, DJ Paul has a Juggalo tattoo on his neck. I've got one on my wrist.
If you have that and you show up to prison, like, it's a gang affiliation.
I'm just so mad that I chose to get Jug for Life instead of Jugs Rule. Like J-U-G-Z. Rule, like,
I get it, yeah. Tits, tits are great,
sick, dude.
Yeah, I mean, Jug for Life's pretty sick, too. But yeah, I got nervous, like, I'd looked up, Juggalo tattoo.
Yeah, like, oh shit, I thought you were talking about going on stage. I've seen them like throw Fago at people or whatever.
Yeah.
Fago Armageddon,
yeah, that's terrifying.
They call it.
I don't want anything to do with that.
They are so, those fucking guys in ICP are so talented at like fucking rapping while like shaking up a bottle of Fago and like launch, they make them into these fucking torpedoes that go flying through the
50 yards easy.
Oh my god, more than that.
They must put Mentos in it or something.
It's the most visually fucking stimulating thing, with the way they launch these 2 liter bottles of Fago. But enough about that.
I digress.
Enough about that. Let's, dude, congrats on fucking getting on Rogan and showing
thanks, man.
How many times have you been on Rogan?
Gee, like, I think five times this year. Yeah. It's pretty nonstop. Yeah, it's just been this year.
Unbelievable.
It's been crazy, yeah.
Is there a connection that you put this this YouTube special? I mean, dude, you're like the top of the heap of the YouTube comedy special.
Yeah, well, I didn't have a choice.
Yeah,
I would have liked it to be on Netflix. That would have been fucking sweet. But yeah. No, I had to do it myself.
Like, how many views is it up to now, the live in Austin?
Like, should be like 6 or 7 million.
It has crossed 7 million. We are aware of that.
That was a trick question.
I usually check it.
The New Yorker said over 7 million.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, the New Yorker said over 7 million.
They were
million.
Good to me.
Yeah,
I was worried about that. They were like, "We're going to write an article about you." I was like, you guys are going to fucking kill me.
I'm doing an article with New Yorker.
Who's writing it?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it never occurred to me to be nervous about what someone's going to write about me when I do an article with them.
Turns out it's good.
Yeah, I mean,
nervous because I started with nothing but negative press. Like, that's how I was introduced, was like, look at this piece of shit. So anytime, like, someone, especially a publication like the New Yorker.
Yeah, what's like, that saying? From stardom, you fell from grace.
Yeah.
Their article was like the opposite.
It was nice.
From falling down to grace or something like that.
Cool, man.
I don't like the pressure, though. I liked the fall was nice.
Yeah, there's no pressure.
It's like the fall and then the rise, and it's like, well, now there's a It's going to be a fall.
No.
It's going to be another fall, dude. You can fall a bunch. Yeah. Jesus fell three times, dude. You're going to fall. I'm going to fall again.
Since Jesus fell three times.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can always do the Legion of Skanks festivals every year.
True.
Yeah.
True.
You have something to keep that going.
Dude, Ari Shaffir.
Yeah.
He's fallen a few times.
He fell a couple times, dude. Yeah. He keeps falling. He's trying to fall.
Yeah.
He likes it.
Dude, it's didn't they have Ari Shaffir on a lie detector test and asked him if he regretted like his yeah. Kobe thing?
Yeah.
And he was like, no, I don't. And he like passed the lie detector
yeah,
test.
Yeah,
dude,
sure.
That's just a different kind of animal, dude.
He's wild.
I'm like way more sensitive than you would imagine Steve-O is. Like, I could not.
No, negative press sucks.
Yeah, dude. It hurts. I'm super, super sensitive.
Yeah.
Mark Normand. We were talking to him about how you were coming on, and he said that you he said, "Oh, be careful, dude. And Shane does not like people suggesting that that the cancel culture worked in his favor."
Oh yeah.
Like I thought that was kind of interesting because I had suggested and apologies here for going ahead and saying exactly what I've been told you don't want to hear.
I get it.
But
yeah, I get it.
I just think it's fascinating. But like, my question was like, is it's safe to assume that there have been plenty of people who were bona fide cast members on Saturday Night Live and just pretty quiet about it?
Sure.
You know, like didn't really take off. They were just sort of like, you know, some people became big stars and a lot of people didn't. And for you, like it was kind of a launching deal. Like it was just like everybody got
eyes on me for sure. Right. So there is that. Like what I've talked to Mark about is like how it's annoying when like comedians will be like, I think it helped you, and it's like, bro, like maybe, but it might have helped if I didn't get canceled and I was on SNL. Like that could have been good. That could have been good. Maybe I could have been good on there.
Yeah, but were you, because you had to probably work fucking 10 times harder to get.
That's the other thing, is it's the ego part of it where it's like, no, it's not like I was just handed this.
Yeah.
Getting canceled isn't a good thing unless you do well afterwards.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then I don't like to ever be in that position where I got to be like, no, I'm good. Like, you know what I mean? I don't want to.
Right. Let me move on from that.
Yeah, whatever.
And apologies for, again, saying precisely what I'm told you don't want to hear.
He's like, now he also said you didn't want to talk about your mother.
How's she doing?
Yeah.
She's still dead.
But no, he said that.
She's alive.
He said that you've got a new sketch show.
Oh, yeah.
That's fucking unbelievable.
We just released it like an hour ago. The trailer for it. It's going to come out October 4th, so this it'll already be up.
Okay, there you go. It'll be up.
So GillianKeeves.tv. Yeah.
GillianKeeves.tv. We can put the link to that in the video description of the YouTube version of this podcast. Oh, nice.
So that's the thing. Yeah, after like we just put out a bunch of sketches for free last year, and people liked them. So this time, put it behind a paywall. We got to make some money on it.
Sure.
Yeah. But, yeah.
What's your approach to the paywall?
We put it on a website, so it's $9.99. You get all the sketches.
I was in a similar situation with my second comedy special. Everybody didn't want it. and it broke my heart because this was my first multimedia deal. Not like on the road, it was just me and a microphone. Yeah. But in post-production, I edited in footage to illustrate the stories I was telling in my stand-up.
Oh, nice.
So it was this, like, unique, like, multimedia comedy special that I fucking, to this day, love. Nobody bought it. So I'm like, all right, now I got to fucking put it out on my own. But the footage I cut into all these stories is never allowed. It's never going to be allowed. It was just explicit shit. My dick's all over it. Like, it's, like, fucking getting burnt to a crisp.
Bestiality.
Yeah,
obscenity. It was a ball stapling.
I did get humped by an elk. That was a concern.
Damn.
But
were you worried, humped like?
So I had to figure out.
You see Mr. Hand, that guy?
Yeah.
Was that going through your head at all? Were you like?
No. But to figure out the paywall for us, what we did was we went to Louis C.K.'s website.
Yeah.
And
we got
I had
the same. We got the same people, I believe, that did that. Yeah.
Yeah, we had, like, you know, fairly amateur tech people, like, somehow, like, look under the hood of that website, however they did that. Yeah. We just kind of put it together that way.
I think we might be using them. I don't
Sky
know.
SkyPilot.
Oh, no.
It's SkyPilot is like
it's like Vimeo, and then SkyPilot bridges the gap with, like, connecting it to a paywall or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
yeah, like, I did pretty well with it, man. Like, it ended up not being a loss.
That's all you can hope for.
Dude. Right.
Yeah, this one, we'll see. We put a lot of money in it.
Okay.
It could be a loss. We'll see.
All right. But yeah. If over 7 million views on a comedy special on YouTube is any indicator.
Yeah, I mean.
Are you active as hell on YouTube? Like.
No, not really. I mean, I put up a podcast once a week.
Right.
Yeah, that's about it.
I mean, dude, I keep my podcast on the podcast YouTube channel, and then because retention is such a big deal.
Yeah.
I feel like if with the podcast, if people are gonna not go all the way to the end, I feel like it's gonna hurt the performance of other shit and the algorithm. But then again, the more you post, the consistency will help you too. So I don't know.
That's the thing, because we hired, so there's like a production team behind this, and they hired a marketing team to promote the new sketches. And the way they were doing it is they were clipping the sketches from the first season that were free and just kept reposting them. And I was like, stop. Like, you got to, like, don't oversaturate it. Just put it out when we put it out. Mm-hmm. Like, especially because it looks like I'm the one doing it, because it's me. It looks like I'm just reposting myself over and over again on Instagram. None of it was original. It was just
the thing with like marketing and shit like that. It's like you pay a big marketing firm to come in and like do all that shit for you, but you're like, dude, I'm just gonna go on Rogan once. And then,
yeah, that's actually exactly what I said. I was like, I'll just go keep going on Rogan. We'll do that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's crazy because like all the money that you have in, like, when you're starting a business goes into the marketing, but it's like if you have a huge following, it's like, I got that, dude. It's all good.
Right.
Yeah, especially if it's yourself, like.
Dude, I know
what my image
exactly
is, or whatever, however you want to say it.
But even like we have like a hot sauce on Amazon. It's like if Steve does a post, we go to number one every time.
Yeah.
So it just keeps going. It's like, you know, fuck, dude, major corporations would love to have something like that.
Yeah, I mean, we do well when I promote the hot sauce, but still like the little hot sauce universe on Amazon, like our hot sauce doesn't make that much money.
Yeah. No, it's pretty good.
Right. What's that community like?
Critical?
Our hot sauce is always in the top 20, but we can't market it internally on Amazon because of the word butthole.
That's my hot sauce. It's called Steve-O's Hot Sauce for Your Butthole.
So we cannot advertise, and like we're losing out on so much fucking money.
Fuck.
So we came out with a new flavor of hot sauce called Steve-O's Butthole Destroyer.
No. No.
We doubled down. Yeah.
They're like, we'll put you on the front page of Amazon, deal of the day, but you have to change the name. It's like, no.
Damn.
But if you go to Amazon and you type in the word butthole, it takes you to our hot sauce.
Oh, all right. Yeah. So I bet a lot. You guys are getting fifth graders. Just horny kids.
Hopefully, as this podcast is published, we're getting everybody to go and plug in the word butthole on Amazon.
Yeah. And it's a weird little like sub community, because then people will do a YouTube video of them chugging our hot sauce, and all of a sudden it, like, people start calling everybody out.
And it's not even just people chugging. There's like people there's like full on hot sauce review channels.
Yeah.
They do nothing but just review.
I was wondering though, is like the hot sauce community like stand up where they're like, oh, you think you can just get into hot sauce?
Yeah.
Like, are they dickheads about it?
No. You know who's a dickhead about it? Was this one guy wouldn't pick up our hot sauce. I'm like, dude, we're like number one on Amazon right now.
Yeah.
He's like, you use vinegar as a filler instead of orange juice. Our people are going to just see right through that. And I'm like,
are they?
Are you fucking kidding me?
Are you sure?
Dude, I like vinegar.
Yeah,
vinegar.
Do
we
great.
Use vinegar as a filler?
Yeah. Everybody does. I mean, Tabasco does. But like, you know how you get some of the hot sauce that are like really thick and like a different color? They use orange juice instead. Nobody fucking cares.
I actually do care. I like vinegar a lot, yeah. Dude. Like,
I just had vinegar on French fries this weekend.
Yeah, dude. Crucial.
I haven't done that in a while. It was great.
Crucial.
Balsamic vinegar? Who doesn't like vinegar?
I just bought these apple cider vinegar gummies.
Really?
Dude, take me to the drugstore, and I don't give a fuck what kind of gummy it is, dude. Like, that's just, like, my excuse for eating candy.
It's like vitamin gummies, like vitamin C gummies,
melatonin gummies. Yeah,
I got fiber gummies. I was taking huge dumps.
For sure.
That was a victory.
Because I'm, like, off sugar. Like, I can't eat, like, fucking Reese's and all that shit. So I just, like, I have a whole fucking thing of gummies, dude.
Yeah.
Vitamins, dude. Those emergency good. Gummies.
Yeah, those are nice.
Dude, those things are dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, love that shit.
Are you putting gummies in your mouth right now?
No, that was nicotine.
That was nicotine? You're just swallowing.
Yeah. No, it's not. You're supposed to. It's not like dip.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like to not dip. Yeah.
Oh, it's like
a nicotine gum. Yeah.
That's cool.
It's just nicotine.
Oh, cool, man. So you're trying to quit the
dip. In public. No, I'll just dip at home.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Because I was dipping it. I kept going to clubs. I do spots during the week in the city. And, like, if you're sitting there dipping, these people, they don't like it.
I had a buddy
comedians are like, yo, that's the grossest shit I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's like, all right.
Dude, I had a buddy that, like, we would go out drinking. He would, like, dip, you know, and drink while he's in.
Yeah.
And then we woke up the next morning. We're all fucked up. And he's like, God, dude, I hate it when that happens. And
yeah,
I'm like,
slept with a dipping.
You hate that when it happens. Yeah. Like, it happened more than once in your life. Like, just had a dip in his mouth all night. And it's like.
That's crazy. I dip and drink a lot. And I've never done it.
You dip and never smoke cigarettes at the same time?
I've done that. That's a sad moment.
Let's face it. If you're addicted to cigarettes, dipping, nicotine of any kind, then every day is a sad day. Because people just look down on you, man, with dipping and cigarettes. Like, they don't respect you. And you stink, and you're miserable. Now, I don't want to sound holier than thou, but gosh, am I grateful that I quit smoking cigarettes and any form of nicotine. And man, do I love helping people be freed of the shackles of that addiction by letting them know about Fume products from breathefume.com. It's just natural, healthy stuff. They give you this great wooden inhaler that you put into the wooden inhaler, this core, which is infused with natural essential oils that come in all kinds of great flavors, that's actually proven to help with cravings for nicotine. And that's the thing about cigarettes, man, is that it's all just like hand to mouth. Like, it's like a fidgety, busy work kind of a thing. And with this inhaler, like, it's not bad for you. It's gets you to just do all the stuff that you're doing when you're smoking. Plus, it's delicious. I even use it, and I haven't had a cigarette in 14 years. Man, it's a great product. And you get 10% off your whole order if you go to breathefume.com/Stevo. That's BREATHEFUME.com/Stevo for 10% off your whole order. And dude, if you're sitting there thinking, man, I should really do that because cigarettes and nicotine, like, yeah, you really should do that. It's time to stop being looked upon as a loser because you're addicted to darn nicotine. There, I said it. Breathefume.com/Stevo and use the promo code Stevo and break free of the shackles. Yeah. Now, let's talk more about this with Shane.
That's a real sad moment. Yeah, that's too much.
I had a roommate that used to do that.
I remember meeting Bobcat Goldthwait, and
who's that?
He's a comedian.
You would know.
Yeah, you would know. Okay. He I think he offered me a piece of like Nicorette nicotine gum, and I was like, oh no, dude, I'm cool.
Yeah.
And then And he says, oh, okay, so then he fucking pops it in his own mouth. He's chewing it or whatever. I said to him, I go, no, I'm not like, I said, what are you trying to quit smoking? He goes, oh, no, I smoke too. I just fucking
like. Yeah, yeah, yeah. just good nicotine.
I told that really bad, but yeah, his whole deal was he chews nicotine gum and smokes cigarettes.
It's a heavy dose.
That dope. That's yeah. rad.
Yeah. I got into like smoking cigars, and I was like, oh, I gotta quit. And I went to the cigar lounge. I'm like, this is the last time I'm gonna be here. I'm gonna quit. And the guy's like, can I ask you a question? And I was like, yeah. He's like, why are you quitting?
Hell like, yeah.
Because it's fucking bad for you.
Yeah.
Like, and but it was like some people just don't have that, like, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck, this is gonna kill him. Like, I'm neurotic in my head every time I do something. So yeah. It's like.
He's like the germaphobe and sex addict.
Oh, nice.
Bad combo.
I'm a germaphobe that like eats butt.
Yeah, yeah. don't look at me like that, dude. What'd you bring me up here for, dude?
So
casting
you say,
couch.
Yeah.
You say you're doing spots in the clubs, but you're touring too, yeah?
Yeah, on the weekends, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So I did Boston, and then I drove all the way down to Philly. On Sunday.
So Boston, you're at the Wilbur?
No, I was at Laugh Boston Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then they were like, do you want to open for Chris Rock in Philly? And I was like, definitely. Yeah, so I drove fucking, it was like 7.5 hours yesterday. That sucked. Just to show up.
And then you came?
Did Philly, and then this morning I drove up here.
Fuck.
Yeah.
My buddy Eric Andre was doing some shows with Chris Rock. And yeah. He said that it was so impressive. Chris Rock would have somebody record the show.
Oh, yeah.
And then immediately after the show, that recording would be sent to, like, a stenographer
yeah.
who would, like, type up a script of the show.
Yeah.
And then he'd be poring over the script of the show to see where he could, like, eliminate words.
Yeah.
And, like,
I mean, it was crazy. He had, like, bulletins of what he was going to say. I think he had it on stage, like, so he could see his shit. Because he did like an hour and a half at least. It's really fucking impressive. And it was cool to watch. Like, it was just sitting backstage watching Chris Rock. I was like, damn.
Did you tell
that's
him?
That's as cool as it gets.
Did you tell him, man, I think that getting slapped was the best thing
yeah,
for
that's
you.
What I said. I said, look, I think it probably helped, yeah. honestly.
He's like, everybody told me not to say this, but.
Yeah.
yeah. But like, don't you think that like, how big was the venue?
It was huge. It was, and it was his third night there. Yeah.
Auditorium.
Yeah. But I didn't think it was going to be as many black ladies.
Okay.
I don't know why. I thought Chris Rock's crowd would be a lot of honkies. That's okay. what I was anticipating.
No,
and then I showed up to go on stage, and I was like, ooh, I'm going to bomb. I was like, this will be tough.
They liked it,
yeah.
So how did the invite get extended to you?
I don't know. It was just through my agents. I have no
idea. That's pretty
yeah.
Did he know that? I mean, it's a seven-hour drive. That's pretty...
Well, I was excited.
Yeah, yeah. Well, of course. Dude.
Yeah.
How long did you do?
Like 15.
Yeah.
Just a quick 15.
For
and
sure.
Sat there.
That's yeah. epic, man.
Yeah, it was cool.
There's no way that like that he saw your schedule and was like, oh, well, he's right
no,
there.
I think he was just, he's seen me at the Cellar a bunch and was like, he's funny. See if he wants to do it. And I was like, yeah, definitely.
You talked to him backstage?
Yeah. Yeah. We went out and got dinner. It was sick.
Oh, dude,
wow,
that's cool.
Yeah,
right?
It was awesome.
Rad.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
right. Cause
and then the next level is if you're going to do more than one night, you're on his private jet with him.
Yeah, that'd be sick. I just took one of those for the first time.
Me too. It was
scary.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
I was with Rogan, and we went to the UFC two
nice.
Weeks ago. Yeah.
Nate Diaz.
Yeah,
okay, cool.
It was awesome.
Aren't you buddies with Nate Diaz?
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
a little.
Yeah.
Every podcast I go on, I'm like, yeah, me and Nate are a good friend. He's like, dude, what are you talking about?
Dude, I saw you on the broadcast, like sitting
yeah,
like
just
Joe.
My fat face, the closest. Just gladiators are fighting. I'm sitting there eating fucking chicken fingers.
Dude, that's epic, man.
Yeah.
So you love watching the fights?
Yeah. Yeah. Especially yeah, next to fucking Rogan and them are
yeah.
sitting right here. You're right there. And you're
right.
Just, it's terrifying.
I mean,
it's truly terrifying.
The only thing that sucks about going to see the UFC fights in person is
yeah.
that you can't hear the commentary
I
from
know.
Rogan and DC and Anna.
Yeah, dude, they're so good.
Right, but if you're sitting right next to Rogan, are you able to hear
I can hear the screams. Like if somebody gets hit, it's like, oh, but the whole crowd's screaming too, so.
Right.
the...
You know what I've done? Like, is I'll be at the pay-per-view event in the arena, and I've got my fucking headphones in, and I'm listening to the UFC Fight Pass.
You're like Bartman.
But it's like a minute and a half delay or something. So I'm hearing the commentary like a minute and a half late.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just don't care because I love their commentary so much.
Yeah, and they'll tell you what the fuck's going on because I'm sitting there like, you have no idea. I can't tell if somebody blocked it or if somebody just got kicked in the head.
Well, yeah, it's like a submission attempt. Ooh, that's tight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, he's got to lift the right arm up or some shit.
He's got to roll over onto his hip.
Yeah.
He's going to... Dude, like, it's just so fascinating, man. I love it, dude.
Yeah, that shit's awesome. The first one I went to with him was Ngannou versus Ciryl Gane.
Okay.
There's a heavyweight champion. Yeah. Dude, Francis Ngannou, from, like, me to you, is the scariest dude. Oh, yeah, you guys had him on the fucking thing.
How big is he? He's, like, 6'3", 250?
Standing next to Ngannou is about what you would think it is. Like, he's...
Yeah.
It's not quite like when you meet an NBA basketball player they're like, it's so, like, you're not prepared.
They're
when,
freaks, dude.
Yeah.
They're freaks.
Like, from what you can watch basketball on TV until you're blue in the face, nothing will prepare you for meeting
6'11",
Shaq or, like, you know, like, it's like, wow. Yeah. So it's not like that when you meet Ngannou, but it's more like what you would expect. Like, he's huge.
Yeah, he's terrifying.
Yeah. And he's also the most soft-spoken, nicest guy. Like,
yeah,
just...
well, that's even scarier.
Right.
It's like, dude, what's going on in there?
Super.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's kind of a pussy, though.
Yeah, I'd whoop his ass.
Yeah, oh, man. And what's crazy, too, is that I had no idea that they were going to do, like, so many different, like, super violent things to Danger Aaron with the cup test.
Yeah.
All I knew... That was the first one of them.
Yeah.
So I'm on the set that day, and they're like, oh, dude, Francis Ngannou is coming to set today. I'm like, what? And they're like,
why?
He's going to punch Danger Aaron in the balls with a cup. I'm like, dude, I start campaigning. Like, I want, because I'm such a fan. I'm like, let me get the nut shot from Francis Ngannou. And they were just like, nah, dude, like this one's going to Danger.
Yeah.
And
like, how fucked up was he?
It was thank God he didn't, like, it didn't just look like he was holding back. Like, he went for it.
Yeah,
like,
it
was great.
Yeah.
And I ended up, after seeing how many different fucking things they did to Danger Aaron's balls, like, I'm so glad that I got shut down when I asked for that.
Yeah.
Couldn't be more thrilled that I was not a part of that bit.
You did the one, though, the T-ball one.
I did the T-ball one.
That was
no
terrifying.
Cup. Yeah, no cup. That was brutal. But yeah, man, fuck.
Yeah, that was a jackass. I went and I lived in Spain for a while. And when I went over there.
When was that?
It was after college. It was like 2014.
Okay. Where?
In Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, I would get on the train and everyone, like, I'd always see jackass shirts.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I was like,
wow.
Damn, that's great. Like, mm-hmm. You guys like jackass? And they're like, oh, yeah, jackass. Like, I was like, yeah, jackass.
What was the purpose of going to live in Madrid?
I went and I taught English.
Wow.
In Spain, yeah.
That's cool.
Are you good at sick. English?
I'm all right at it. I'm okay at English. It was nice, though. You barely had to speak Spanish.
Yeah. So when did you start doing comedy?
Right before that. And then I left. And that was one of the reasons, like, I really wanted to do stand-up. Like, I'd be in Madrid, like, looking at Facebook, seeing all these guys from the Harrisburg Comedy Zone, which is where I was from.
Uh-huh.
Like, these guys that sucked, like, getting to host. And I'd be like, these motherfuckers, I should be in there.
Right.
And, like, I got home and, focused on stand-up entirely.
That's good, man.
Yeah, that little jealous, that shit works. Sitting at home brooding,
oh,
being
dude.
Like, you motherfucker.
Yeah, especially 100%. When you're in another country.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, negativity is crucial. Like, I don't think I got anywhere in life based on, like, the joy of it. I was like, dude, this fucking person called me a loser. This person rejected
wrong.
Me. Like, just, like, fucking pissed off and vengeful success.
It's the only way.
Yeah.
And then you're never happy.
Yeah.
It's good.
I was never happy anyway. Never want to be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got this new book, and I'm like... People ask me if I'm happy. The question just always made me uncomfortable, like, because like I can only react to the question just with, like, a feeling, and it's like, no, I'm not fucking happy. Like, and like, if
who the fuck's happy?
Yeah, and what would being happy accomplish?
Addicts. No, not happy.
Fucking. What would being happy accomplish? I'd be content. I wouldn't need anything more. I'd be fucking lazy. I'd be a loser.
Yeah.
Happy is for losers.
Happy is for fucking losers.
I don't want to be a loser. I want to
be extremely successful guys.
Yeah.
There are dudes, like, I think Rogan is happy.
I can believe there's dudes
that are happy that are just driven psychos. I rely entirely on.
But what's the motivating force behind, like, Rogan keep doing what he's doing? Because, like, he's already has it all. Like, well, how do you keep motivated like that every day? How do you sit in a fucking ice bath for 25 minutes when you're
jacked? That's psycho shit. That's psycho shit, dude. Like, he's a psycho.
I love Bert Kreischer's talking about Rogan's Whoop Band, how the Whoop Band itself is like,
So at the end of the last podcast we did with me, Norman Dari, and Rogan, we started, like, bonging beers, and I drink a lot. And Rogan was like, I can do that. And I was like, all right. And he was like, no, I'm going to do just as many as you. Like, he got competitive.
But he probably can't.
Psycho shit. He got fucked up. He was.
And you were fine.
He was obliterated. No, I was drunk, but he was like.
Wow, perfect. Falling just down. For bonging beers, huh?
But then he got back. And then he came back like 2 hours later. We did another show and he was.
Yeah, because he probably fucking took a supplement.
Took an ice bath. Yeah,
like,
took some type of. Yeah.
And then like did like a fucking 3 hour.
Wait, you did something. So you did this at the end of the podcast, and then you're going out to the comedy.
And then
club.
We went and did a show. We did Kill Tony.
Right. Okay.
We did Tony Hinchcliffe.
So he was all
show.
Hammered on.
So
Kill
me,
Tony.
Norman, and Ari show up, and we're hammered. I'm hammered, and then Rogan shows up late, and we're like, "There's no way he's up." And he was fine. It was crazy. I thought he was fine at the time. And then I rewatched it, and I was like, damn, he's hammered too. I was just shit-faced. I was like, how are you okay? He's like, I'm fine, Shane Gillis. Like, he just got – yeah, he was shit-faced.
Yeah, I mean, dude, he's ready to go.
Yeah.
It's so gnarly, man. I talk about Rogan in my book, and I'm like, just kind of addressing how there are certain people that were like not down for me getting into stand-up, you know? And like one of those people, and to his credit, he was pretty just candid about it, was Mark Maron.
Yeah.
You know, I went and I was promoting my first comedy special on Mark Maron's podcast. And he was like, hey, dude, I got to say, man, you know, like I wasn't super thrilled about you doing stand-up, you know? But like, And whatever, it just, I felt like kind of like, man, why would he just, why am I here and why is he saying this, you know?
That's chick shit.
But and then I developed a theory, and what I describe as the theory is like that there's just some people who operate with a mentality of scarcity. Like there's not enough to go around.
Yeah.
And like my theory is that Mark Maron felt that way because it's like if Steve-O comes in and succeeds during stand-up, then that maybe somehow takes food off of the table for him.
Yeah.
Like maybe there's, and maybe I'm completely wrong about it. But what I really feel strongly about is that Rogan is like the opposite.
Yeah,
of that.
It's the total opposite.
He operates with a philosophy of abundance. Like there's just enough to go around. Like he just wants there to be more funny shit in the world. You know, he's like, I want my fucking mailman to do fucking comedy. Yeah. I don't fucking care. Like he's funny.
But isn't that like if I had a podcast that I started in 2014 and then like Mark Maron started a podcast in 2020, I'd be like, listen, I wasn't really happy with you coming onto the podcast scene. But you know, now that you're here, it's like, what's the fucking difference, you know?
I think with comedy, it's like, but the thing is,
he started in 2008 versus 2012.
Yeah.
I mean, Maron's different. I'm not talking about Maron's shit, but like, but these people that are like, oh, dude, well, I have like a certain, it's like, why? Because that's all you did after high school?
I guess with stand up, though, stand up is like, there's only a certain amount of clubs. It's not like a podcast, you can just throw it on. Like, stand up. And so when you're new, like when I remember when I was new headlining, I couldn't sell tickets. And then Screech would show up, and they'd be like, ah, you're off this weekend. Screech is here. I'd be like, all right.
Screech didn't
know. But he'd sell out, though.
Did he?
He sold out.
At first, yeah. Screech was selling.
Wow.
More than fucking me.
Yeah.
I opened for him, and he was a great guy. He was really fucking nice,
I bet.
Screech was cool.
Yeah. Was he doing, like, an hour-long set?
Yeah.
His shit was filthy, too, huh?
Yeah, he was wild.
Yeah. His shit was filthy. Was wild. Probably really funny, too.
Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah, but my point was too with the Mark Maron and Rogan thing was that like I acknowledge that my default, like I'm a Maron, you know, I'm like my initial thing is like, no, I don't want, you know, I don't want anyone fucking stealing my spotlight, stealing my bag, fucking, you know,
of course.
Like I'm like my, and I have to like with effort try to have the Rogan mentality. And, yeah. And I've, over the years, I've really been more like...
But are you like that with people doing stunts?
Trying to help people out, for sure. Look at the way I've, you know...
But no. But you've never been like, oh, dude, this guy can't do it. Or like, it's kind of weird that this guy... Or have you always been... Because like when people are showing you
like
shit...
Like when Jackass came out, everybody was... Me and my friends were making... Everybody started making Jackass. Like...
Yeah. It's kind of the same thing, right?
Dude, that's our thing.
I admitted you had to have seen it in my book. But the last thing I did with Ryan Dunn was this show, Minute mm-hmm. to Win It.
Okay.
Right where we both went on it. And I'm like, yeah, this is like kind of a while back, like it was in 2011. And I admitted in my book that when we got called for that, I was campaigning to like have it be just me, because I felt like that I'd like I'm a bigger star, like it'll be cooler, like yeah. if I'm just, you know, I was trying to get Dunn kicked off.
Oh, that's crazy! That's crazy.
And right when I say that, I'm like, dude, I understand that's a fucking shitheaded thing.
Yeah.
It's just true. Like I'm a shithead, you know. Like that's where I was at.
Yeah.
And, so, yeah, you were like that.
Yeah, 100%. I'm a Marin.
Yeah.
I'm a Marin, dude, and I'm working hard to be more of a Rogan.
Yeah. It's hard to be a Rogan.
Yeah. It's it, dude. It's tough, man.
Yeah, I think that's why he's so successful.
I can feel my face is like red. I'm embarrassed from that.
No,
happens. It's not red.
Exactly. Yeah. But, yeah, dude, you know, your face gets hot. Like I
it's
guess.
The worst.
Like, yeah. But in any case, man.
Yeah, that's the COVID probably. I don't know.
Is it weird when you take a COVID test like that you could start feeling like psychosomatic symptoms?
You just instantly like, oh, I have it.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I Bro. Only ever feel like I have COVID if I'm being tested for COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it's the only time I'm ever thinking about like whether I feel right or not.
Dude, we landed in New York yesterday and this guy on the fucking plane was like, put his phone on, was talking all loud, and his wife was like, shh, be quiet. But he was like talking really loud and he's like, yeah, mom, I was exposed, okay? Like, do you still want me coming over or not? And she was like,
that's hilarious.
You know,
that's
I'm
a
like,
funny
I'm
joke on a plane.
Here, like,
I know.
No, he was dead. He was fucking dead
but
serious.
But the question is, where's the cameras?
Yeah. No, I was exposed. They don't know. No one here cares.
It's over. The pandemic's over.
Right, when you're telling this to Lux, I'm thinking that, like, oh, wow, some guy was, you know, admitting to, like, showing his wiener to,
yeah.
I was exposed.
Yeah.
Yeah, mom, I pulled my
That's
wiener.
That's where your mind went? Yeah. And then me and the lady looked at each other next and we're like, is this guy fucking serious? And
yeah. I would have been mad he was talking on the phone.
Yeah.
That annoys me.
That's the worst.
That annoys me.
People talk.
Yeah.
For sure.
Plane shit's just really weird. You saw that guy punch the fucking American Airlines stewardess in the back
dude,
of the head?
Dude, spazzing on planes?
Wait, what? When was that?
It's like 3 days ago.
He tried to go to the bathroom in first class, and they're like, you can't. And he swung. He
just like...
He hit a lady?
The flight attendant in the back of the head.
It's the lady?
Yeah.
I thought it was a dude. I could be wrong.
I mean,
either
it doesn't
way.
Make much of a difference.
It doesn't make a huge difference.
Yeah, they like zip-tied him.
They zip-tied. So, dude, That's heavy, dude.
That's heavy.
Getting zip tied on a plane is a tough look.
That's
a fucking bummer, dude.
Another
you probably
guy.
Just calm down a little and you're like, fuck, I'm like, sorry.
Like, oh, dude, you're going to jail forever.
I'm sorry. Guys, I fucked up.
Another guy was like airdropping porn to everybody.
Really bad. Yeah.
Another guy was like airdropping porn to like all the fucking, the pilot was like, dude, can you, whoever's doing this, I will turn the plane around now. We'll have like the whole. You know, please come and check each phone. And like some guy was just airdropping porn to everybody on the plane.
Well, they're the ones who accepted it.
It's true.
I would have accepted.
Takes two to fucking airdrop.
I thought you were looking for Tango. I was going to be like, Tango. That's the...
Yeah.
To complete an airdrop does take two people.
That's true.
Yeah, dude. So, okay, I want
to... Are you doing spots in the city?
I'm not, dude. I got a book. The book I've been talking about.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, as we're recording this, comes out tomorrow.
Oh, sick.
So that's why I'm in New York is to do the whole.
What's it about?
It's
is this your first book?
No, it's my second.
Okay.
My first is a straight memoir. This one is it's called A Hard Kick in the Nuts: What I've Learned from a Lifetime of Terrible Decisions.
Nice.
So it's sort of a book of wisdom, which serves as a vehicle to. Tell all the crazy shit that happened in the 10 years since my last book came out.
Damn. You've had a good 10 years, though.
It's been pretty... It's been
Have
pretty
you been
early,
happy?
Yeah. No interest in being happy, dude. I choose the hustle.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, dude. Okay, so I want to talk more about these sketch, this sketch stuff, and I've been burning up with curiosity when you say we put a lot of money into it.
Yeah.
Like how, like and it's like a season.
78,000.
More.
247.
Okay. Around there.
Okay, when like when people go to the paywall, and is it broken down into like so a series of episodes?
So this one we filmed like a special. We filmed a live showing of all the sketches with me and John, he's the other guy.
Was there like a stage set for?
Yeah. Yeah, we had like a couch and a chair, and then we would go, we showed all the sketches, like kind of like a movie,
Different sets so you can have like different?
What do you mean?
Are there like different sets so like when you're in one, they can be setting up the other one?
No. We didn't do the sketch live. We showed the sketch live. Like we filmed it and then aired it live.
Okay, got it.
You know what I mean?
Okay, so it was more of a screening.
Yes, a screening. Okay. That's what I'm looking for.
Right.
Yeah, it wasn't like Saturday Night Live. It wasn't.
Right.
Yeah. But we showed that. We filmed that. We filmed the live show. It's almost like Chappelle's show where in between he comes out and talks and then he shows a sketch and then he talks.
Right. Okay.
So we filmed that. We put that out. And then, I think on the website you'll have the option. You can watch that or each sketch individually.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're saying it, like we put it out even though it comes out October 4th. So when this is out, it will be up.
It'll be out.
And it's 1 hour long thing, or you can do it sketch by sketch.
Yeah, or you can watch each sketch.
So you can buy the album, or you can just get the tracks.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, I'm excited about it. I'm interested to see how it goes.
Right.
Yeah.
And like the cast of the sketches.
Yeah, it's just me and my friends from Philly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do your friends from Philly have like a profile, like a public profile? Or?
Yeah, they're comedians. Okay. Yeah.
It's just not randos riding your coattails?
No. Some. There's a couple of guys in there, but that's good. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You want to...
Because I rode their coattails, too, at first. Yeah.
Good.
Like, because I moved to Philly, and they were all established
and all that shit.
You
were fucking blowing it in Madrid. You had to come back, and they didn't... Yeah,
I was sitting there jealous of Madrid.
Hell yeah, I was jealous.
Yeah. So you come back from Madrid, and these guys, like, let you in the door that they opened.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And then you did laps around those losers.
No. These are my friends. The other fuckers. I hated the rest of those motherfuckers.
Okay.
Comedy scenes, especially when you're starting, are so fucking... like petty.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, it never really stops, but at the lowest level, no one's happy.
They're just down to fuck everybody over they can.
Yeah.
Even at the late in the game, you know.
Yeah, it's still there, but.
I mean, it's a.
For sure.
It's especially when you think about the, like, the comedy club, like, lifestyle, like, even for the headliner.
Yeah.
Like, to go do a weekend at a comedy club, you're fucking battling your way through the airport and dealing with the airplane, then checking into the hotel, and then you can't even get a night's sleep because you got to get up fucking at like 5 or 6 in the morning to get to the radio station, to every radio station in town,
and then you
got to go to the comedy club and do the same fucking shit like twice every night. And it's pretty gnarly.
Yeah, when I would go on radio, they'd be like, "Oh, Shaggy, so tell us about SNL. What was getting fired like?" I think it helped out. Don't you think it helped? Don't you think it helped you out? Wow. And I'd be like, "Yeah, man,
like
definitely."
6:15 a.m.
Yeah, right. Come see me in Rochester.
Yeah, it's
in a shed.
It's.
I guess it did help.
It's a gnarly. It's a gnarly existence. And then I realized that to bitch about that, be like, oh, you know, like how many comics are there, like battling for nothing, you know, like the MCs, the features that are
course.
Like
begging for like
begging
seven
for
more minutes
to
open,
just to get stage time.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, I can see.
Yeah, it's tough to complain, especially people watching this who have real fucking jobs.
Right.
It's like, oh, I gotta wake up and go on the news. This sucks. I got shows all night.
I gotta wake up.
I'm gonna
up
drink. I'm gonna party again.
And it's calm.
Yeah,
I get it, dude. But it kind of makes sense that the comedy is like that.
Yeah, I get it. You can gel. I was, when I was an open micer, I was like, fuck everybody. I'd be like, Rogan's a dickhead. Fuck him.
Yeah.
And you meet him and you're like, sir, I'm so sorry. I was a coward.
Did you say that?
I mean, I don't know if I talk shit on Rogan. I'm sure I talk shit on just about everybody.
Right.
Yeah. And then you meet them in person and you're like, damn, I'm an idiot.
Well, you just don't realize how hard it takes to get to that spot.
Of course. I remember there was a comedian whose Netflix special I thought sucked. And I said it. I was on a podcast. I was like, that shit sucked. And then I went and I did a show with him. I just happened to do a show with him that night in New York. And he murdered. And I followed him. And I was like, damn, that guy was good. I got to shut the fuck up. Like, he killed. And I was like, all right. I see.
Yeah.
I got to shut up. Yeah.
Yeah. Generally, like, if you don't have something nice to say, I think that's the way to go.
Yeah. But when you, like, when I started, I was like, no one's ever going to hear this. I'm not going to be a headliner. Right. I'm just talking shit. And then you get there and you're like, I shouldn't have said all that.
Yeah. But
whatever. That happens.
But dude, like, it's good to, you know, to acknowledge that.
Like, yeah.
It's like Bully Beatdown. You remember that show? And like the bullies would be like, fuck this fucking guy. And the UFC fighter comes in and just murks him, you know? Like, it's like a couple shots of the body.
If I was bullying a guy and a UFC guy beat me up, I'd be like, you're still a pussy, dude. I'm going to fuck you up for this. You just embarrassed the fuck out of me.
Yeah. Dude, I had this funny-ass chick open for me recently in Ottawa. And she had a bit about, she says, God, I can't believe there's still bullying. It's so dangerous with all the guns. It's not worth it.
It's
to
not
be a
worth
bully.
It anymore.
Too many guns in the schools. Like a great bit.
Yeah, that was I was thinking about last night because I was with Chris Rock. That was one of the first bits that I was like, damn. I was in like fifth grade listening to. I think it's on Bigger and Blacker, and it's a joke about Columbine, and he's like, they were a gang of loners. There was like six of them together, and they were. And he was like, they had six friends? There were six of these? He's like, I haven't had six friends my entire life. What are these fucking?
Yeah, that was wild.
I fucked that joke up. You got a funny looking dog, dude.
Yeah, dude.
You got a funny face.
She's just looking for more places to vomit. I mean, I've never seen her like this before. Yeah. She probably drank some of your fucking dip.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder, like, we should maybe give her some attention. Do you sell any merch or anything? Like
podcasts. We sell podcast merch, but no, not at shows.
Okay. No. And where do people get your
podcast you get a, merch? I think Gillian Keeves now has merch and a Matt and Shane Secret Podcast. We sell shirts, yeah.
What's the website?
I think it's mssecretpod.com.
Cool.
Just Google it. Matt and Shane Secret Podcast.
Is there one website that's like a hub for everything where you can get the pay?
Gillian Keeves, that merch is there with the show.
So that's what we want to put in the video
description. GillianKeeves.tv.
GillianKeeves.tv.
Yes.
All right, man. Let's fucking get everybody to watch this sketch comedy.
Yeah, hopefully it's good.
The way that Mark Norman described it, he was like, that the irony is they fucking fired him from SNL and the sketches he's doing on his own are way fucking funny.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice of him to say.
So you're going to war with Lorne Michaels.
Yeah, definitely. Fuck that motherfucker. No, he's the man.
Yeah.
He's a good dude.
Yeah, I believe it.
He was a good dude the whole time.
Cool.
Yeah,
I was surprised by that. I think people are surprised to hear that. They're like, he's got to be a piece of shit. It's like, no, dude, he's
happy. I don't think so. I've never gotten the vibe that he's
a bad guy.
I got
a call last week from, I guess the New York Post is writing an article about him and interviewing people that worked there, and they called me. And they were like, she was trying to get me to say something about Lorne Michaels. And I was like, no, he's a good, I got nothing. And she was like, yeah, every single person I've called has said that.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I get that. I just watched a Vice hour-long show called The Dark Side of Comedy, and I watched the episode about Chris Farley.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
And, like, it's a tough one, but, like, just from that, I can't imagine that anybody would ever have anything bad to say about Lauren.
Yeah. Who else was on that show, The Dark Side of Comedy?
Oh, I'm not sure. Oh, did they have Roseanne, I think, or something? I don't know.
No.
I don't know. The only
one dark
I
was hers? I guess it was...
I think she
that
got
tweet me. Was pretty dark.
Yeah, I can't remember because I only watched the one. Not that I was like disinterested in the other ones, just that's the one that popped up.
You could make a dark side of comedy about probably every comedian.
Yeah.
About everybody.
Or any person, yeah, of course.
Right.
But yeah, most comedians are usually yeah. ends poorly.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not dude. Happy people.
Yeah, it usually ends pretty sad.
Well, Mark Norman's a fucking funny motherfucker.
He is.
Dude.
He's a man.
We were impressed by him. And yeah. His vote, that you know, he had nothing to prove, nothing to gain. He vouches for your sketch comedy.
Oh, nice. Good.
So everybody get on goddamn over there and fucking watch that shit right now. Yeah.
Thanks, bro.
Cool,
man. And anything else that we can promote for you?
No, that's all. That's all. All
right, let's get that fucking money back.
Hell yeah, dude.
Go watch how fucking intense the production value is.
True.
$250,000 easy.
Check that out. The production value is too high.
Yeah,
$250,000
easy. Yeah. All right, brother. Hey, right. Hey, dude.
Yo, means a lot. Thank you for
dude,
having
likewise.
Me.
Likewise, yeah, thank sure. you. Could Shane Gillis be any more likable? Man, what a cool dude. And of course, his new project is now available, and as promised, the YouTube watchers can go right into the description of this YouTube video and click the link to support Shane Gillis. And what else can I say, man? I've had an intense, grueling week of promoting this book. Fuck, it's been really, really intense and draining, and we're super struggling with Amazon, but I don't even want to get into that. Let's just focus on how cute Wendy is, and thank you.
My little brother's friends have been camped out at our place for 2 days straight.
Three.
It's because of the Xfinity 10G network. Internet that can handle a house full of screens at once, with like basically no interruptions. And it's only getting faster. When I was their age, internet like this was a pipe dream.
You sound like my grandpa.
Please go home.
Introducing the next generation 10G network, only from Xfinity. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas.